Okay, we're beginning here on Pei Bet, Amud Aleph, by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Amigareshet ishto," person who divorces his wife, "va'amar la," and he says to her, "Hariat mutera dechol adam," which is the ikar part of the get, which is the release of the woman that she is now muteret. She can get married to engage in a relationship with any other individual. Ella leploni, but he leaves out, says, but not so and so. Leave someone out or accept so-and-so. So now, what the Mishnah is going to do, and the Gemara today, is discuss when we have conditions that are built into the get, how integral are they to the get? Can we bifurcate between the efficacy of the get versus the tznai, the condition, which sits totally separate and outside of the get itself? Or do we see the condition as being integral to the get, or even undermining that which is said in the get? How can you say hariat mutera dechol adam ella ploni? By definition, they are contradictory. They are opposing statements. So does that somehow undermine the get? Forget about whether it's a condition, not a condition. It just means that the get's not a get because it doesn't make a mutera dechol adam. So that's the nature of the Gemara, the Mishnah, and what they are discussing. What the Mishnah says here right now is, if you say it in such a lashon, Reyat Muter L'chol Adam El Leploni, Rabbi Eliezer Matir, Rabbi Eliezer says it's fine, V'chachamim Usrim, the Chachamim say it's no good, Ketzad Yaseh. So then what do you do to rectify this problem? It Lena Heimena, he takes it back from her, V'yachzor V'yitzenenala, and then he has to give it to her again, that the Gemara will discuss as to why he has to take it back and then give it again, rather than simply nullifying the tznai, the condition that he placed here, which should have solved the problem. The problem is in the tznai, not in the get. And then he has to give her back the get, saying that you are muter dechol adam. So depending on what you think the deficit is, then this overcomes the deficit. Whether you think that there is a deficit because you had a maaseh where you gave the get in the wrong manner, and therefore, through dibur, you cannot rectify that. You need to do another maaseh to override. Or whether you think that there wasn't even a netinah the first time. Because when you gave it to her, it wasn't a get. It wasn't a proper get. So now you have to do a netinah, because that's one of the requirements of the get. Again, the Gemara will discuss it, and then the Rishonim on the Gemara try to flesh out and detail what exactly the issue here is. Now, the V'yomer la hariat muter dechol adam that is mentioned here in the Mishnah, we saw earlier in the Masechta that the Rabbeinu Tam said that the right way to give a get was to, when they gave the get, say, hagiteich, this is your get, hariat muter dechol adam, to say that ikar phrase, and the Mishnah here would support that. And then the read notes over here, that that's not mi'ikar adin. Hariat muter dechol adam is not necessarily, if he just says hagiteich, that would also function and work as a get. You don't need to say this exact language. As he says over here, Shana hariyat muter dechol adam alav dafka, al sham alar hazeh gitech, stam. Tayo, that's enough. Dahai detznan lekaman gufu shoget, hariyat muter dechol adam, dafka bevki tivat get mayri. That's only when you're talking about the get itself, the body, the text of the get has to say hariyat muter dechol adam. Lo sheyeh tzarich lomar la be'et ha-misira, not that he has to say that when he gives the get over here. Dumya de Seifa, similar to the Seifa, which is the next Mishnah, or the continuation of this Mishnah, and that's why Hariat Muteret Dechol Adam is mentioned here, because it's much more relevant in the upcoming Mishnah, or the upcoming cases of the Mishnah, but it's not absolutely necessary in our case here. And again, we mentioned before that the Rabbeinu Tam sees that as being a good practice to not only have it written in the text of the get, but also to say it at the time of the Gerushin. Kadvo betocho, if they wrote the tanai in the get itself, afo bi shechazaru machako, if they go back and erase it, pasul, the get is pasul. So this goes back to what I was saying before, how integral or how embedded is the tanai in the get? When you write it in the get, it's clear that the tanai is part and parcel of the get. And therefore, if you want to erase the tanai, you in essence are erasing the get, or what's more problematic is that when you wrote the tznai inside of the get, you prevented the get from being a kosher get. And through erasure, you can't make it into a kosher get anymore because you wrote it, it was not a kosher get when it was written. So the erasure of the tznai doesn't help you. So here you have different extremes. It's clear here where it's written into the get that it's so integral that it's posel the get when you have such a tanai inside of the get. When we have certain lashonot, which we'll see in the Gemara, it's clear that the tanai is separate. And then there are languages we're not sure of how separate it is from the get itself. Ibailahu, hi Ella. When it says Ella in the Mishnah, what is the meaning of the word Ella? Does it mean chutzu or almenat hu? Chutzu means ube chutzu de pligi rabbanon alei de Rabbi Eliezer. When you say chutz mizeh or chutz miploni, that's where the rabbanon and Rabbi Eliezer argue. Dashir la beget, because he left a remnant in the get. Aval bi almenat. If you use lashon almenat, module. They would agree with Rabbi Eliezer that it's totally fine. Because it's no different than any other condition. So here you see it's clear that a condition sits outside of the get. It's something that rides on top of the get, but is not a part and parcel of the get, unless it's a type of condition which affects the nature of the get. Hariat muter de chol adam, chutz miploni, affects the nature or the ability of the get to release the woman. So over there we say that the chutz, at least according to the Chachamim, is problematic because it is so integral or integrally connected to the get. Whereas when you use the word almanat, what you've succeeded at doing is saying that the get is a good get. V'hariat muter de chol adam. You really are muter de chol adam as far as the get is concerned. We have a separate deal or side deal between us, which is once we're divorced, you still can't get married to so-and-so. But that condition or that tnai is completely separate from the get. And therefore, you have a situation in which if you use lashon chutz, that according to the Chachamim, would be problematic. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it's fine. But if you use the lashon of almanat, the Chachamim would agree that that's fine. That separates the tnai from the get. That severs the direct relationship between the condition and the get. Odilma, almanatu. When it says chutz, it really means almanat, on the condition or with the condition of. Ubamanatu the plug bigi Rabbi Eliezer ad the Rabbanan. And in the case of almanat, that's where Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with the Chachamim. Aval b'chutz, modet, dashir la beget. But by b'chutz, which is a stronger language that connects more integrally the tanai and the get, even Rabbi Eliezer would agree. Now, the way that the Gemara sets it up is that you only have those two choices, which is that you have b'chutz and you have almanat. B'chutz is clearly a language that more strongly connects the tanai to the get, and almanat is a weaker language or something that separates more distinctly between the tanai and the get. The Mishnah says Ella, which would then imply that possibly they argue on both of them, because Ella could mean either one of these two lishonot, and therefore they would argue in both lishonot. Yet the Gemara presents it as a choice between either they argue in b'chutz or they argue on manat, and then the other party would agree in the other scenario. So it's interesting that the Gemara does that. From here, coming on, when Ravina says it, you'll see that there is a different view of the Mishnah, that they do argue in both of these cases, but the Gemara does not present our Mishnah in that manner. Amar Ravina, Tashma, kol batim mitam'im b'negayim, ela shelovdei kochavim. All houses can have tumat negayim, with the exception of non-Jewish houses, meaning that this is only a Jewish phenomenon, that houses get negayim. So, iamart bishlama, it makes sense if you say chutz hushapir. If you say that the meaning of the word Ella here means chutz, then that makes sense. Because it says, all Jewish houses can have negayim, chutz, with the exception of non-Jewish houses. Eli amart almenat hu, you say that Ella means on condition of, or with the condition of, almenat delo metame bate obdei kochavim hu de metame bate Israel, on the condition that the non-Jewish homes don't become tamei, then the Jewish homes become tamei. Ha mitamei batei ovdei kochavim. But if the houses of the ovdei kochavim do become tamei, lo mitamei batei Israel, the Jewish houses would not become tamei. Makes no sense. The connection between these two items makes no sense. And therefore, it's clear that the word here, Ella, means chutz and does not mean almanat. Va'od, batei ovdei kochavim, mi mitamei. And then, if you even say it in this manner, you say, okay, yeah, that's the way to explain it. The houses of the Ovdei Chachamim don't become Tamei. They're not even relevant to the Parsha of Negaim, because it says, Vatanya, V'natati nega tzarat bebeit erez achuzatchem, that I will place Negaim in the houses of your inheritance, or the land of your inheritance, Eretz achuzatchem mitama b'negayim. Only your inheritance or your possession in the land has negayim. Vein batei obdei kuchavim mitamim b'negayim. On the other hand, the houses of the non-Jews are not mitamei b'negayim. So it's not even a havamina that you could say this case is almanat, because they're not even in the parsha of negayim. That has to do with the nature of negayim. The Ramban al Torah spells this out very explicitly. Other Rishonim say it in a more veiled way, that negayim are maseh nisim, in particular when they affect a house or they affect bigadim, and that it is a siman that the Shekhinah is shorah b'Yisrael. It's one of the clearest signs that God is present in Klal Yisrael, and therefore when you do something wrong, this spiritual sickness affects you, because you now have some sort of spiritual deficit that is affected by the presence of the Shekhinah. Same way that your body will react to something that is unhealthy for it by becoming weakened or sickened by that item. So too over here, when the presence of the Shekhinah is so apparent and so obvious and amongst you, then when you do something wrong, it immediately has impact in terms of having negayim on the bitayim, negayim on the bigadim. And so that is why it's so connected to Klal Yisrael, and not simply to being in Eretz Yisrael or a non-Jewish home. It's very, very specific to the Jewish homes, which are the residents, in a sense, of the Shekhinah, and that's why the Negaim are connected to that. Ella, Shma Mina. From here you can conclude that the word Ella means Chutzul Shma Mina. That's how you would conclude over here. Now, again, that's interesting only because the word Ella can be used in many different ways. The word Ella, like we've seen here, can be used almanat, can be used for chutz, and even, maybe not, that's not the primary where it's used, as Tosfot points out over here. But to Ella, lo avi, Ella lashon, rak, or aval. We find other places in Shas where we use the word Ella, and Ella can mean only that, or aval, but. So there are many meanings to the word Ella, and here chutz and almanat don't have a monopoly on the word Ella. All that Tosfot is pointing out is that there is ambiguity in the word Ella, and therefore what Ravina is trying to show over here is that his explanation that the word Ella means chutz is not far-fetched. It's not a crazy way to explain the word Ella. You're telling me that the word Ella would naturally mean almanat, which in this case would be seemingly be the easier explanation of it, right? Which is that it should be on condition of, yet here you see from other Mishnayot that the word chutz is the only explanation of the word Ella, and therefore if I say that the word Ella here means chutz, that is not so far-fetched, that's not so crazy. Matnitan t'loki aitana. Our Mishnah then is not like this Tana. The Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda, lo nechluku Rabbi Elazar Chamim. There is no machlok between Rabbi Elazar and Chamim, ala migareshi to Yishto. If he divorces his wife, amar la, hariyat mutar de choladam, chutz miploni, she'ena migureshet. It doesn't work, even according to Rabbi Eliezer. Therefore, this disagrees with our Mishnah, because our Mishnah, we just said the word Ella in our Mishnah, must means chutz. And we said before in the Gemara, if you explain the word Ella as chutz, that means that there's a machloket between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim in chutz. But almanat, in the case of almanat, the Chachamim would agree to Rabbi Eliezer's position. Over here in the Braita, it's saying, Hariat Mutar the Choladam Chutz Miploni, She'ena Migureshet. There they all agree that it doesn't work. The exact opposite of our Mishnah. Alma Nechluku, where is their Machloket? Al Migureshi Yishtov, Amar La, Hariat Mutar the Choladam Almenat Shaloti Nasi the Ploni. Meaning the other Tzad in the Gemara, that's the way that the Braita explains this Machloket between Rav Elezer and the Chachamim. So Ravinu explains our Mishnah as being a case of Chutz. The Braita would say that our Mishnah, in essence, is saying almanat, because they say that the machloket is an almanat, and in chutz, everybody agrees that it is problematic. So Rabbi Eliezer, matir l'chol adam, chutz me'oto aish. Rabbi Eliezer comes to the conclusion that if you use the lashon of almanat, it works that she is mutar to anyone besides that individual. But chamim osrim, on the other hand, the chamim say that that doesn't work because the get is not a good get. My time of the Rabbi Eliezer. What's the reason behind Rabbi Eliezer's opinion? Again, it's very obvious what Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is. He sees the Tanai as being separate from the get. The get is Hariat Mutar the Cholodam, and the get itself is fine. But we have a side deal or a condition that the get will only go into effect if you abide by these regulations or these conditions. Those conditions can be, don't eat this, or they can be, don't marry this guy. But those conditions are separate from the get. Rabbanan, called Tanai, the Alma, lo shir le beget. When you're dealing with any other Tanai, there was nothing left in the get. Hacha shir la beget. Here, there's something left in the get, or, in essence, what the Chachamim are saying is, that even though you can claim that a Tanai is separate from the get, but when the condition itself relates to the information in the get, or contradicts the information in the get, it's no longer a condition, but rather a deficit inside of the get. And so when you say, Hariat Mutar the Chol Adam, Amanat, on the condition that you don't get married to so-and-so, in the end, what you basically said is, Hariat Mutar the Chol Adam, Chutz, with the exception of so-and-so. And once you've done that, you have a deficit in the get. And that's why the Chachamim see that get being problematic. Your question is an interesting question, which is that the Balei Tosafot over here discuss whether the way that you phrase it makes a difference. Which is that, is the difference here between chutz and almanat, and that's really the fundamental difference, or is it possible that the chutz and the almanat, because of how they are modified, makes a difference? Tosafot suggests over here, says, l'chora hayanira dafka ba'almanat shalotinasi. The only way that this works is if you say amanat, that you don't get married to him. Molded aloha vishiyur. Over there, they believe that the get severed the relationship completely, even though he says you, on the condition you can't get married to so-and-so. Mishum dehutra etzlo biznut. Because there is a mechanism or a possibility by which she could engage with that individual if she doesn't marry him. The only restriction is against marrying him, not against consorting with that individual. That's enough of an outlet which says that she's now muteret l'chol adam. It's not simply the almanat. It's the fact that it specifies marriage as the almanat. Molded la bishir mishum do'otra etzlo biznut. Aval, ba'almanat shlo tiv'ali v'lo tinasi, havishir kamo b'chutz. If you specify that it's on the condition that you do not marry, do not consort with this individual, that language would be strong enough that it'd be the same as chutz. So what Tosafot in this Havamina in essence is saying is, it's not really a difference between almanat and chutz, but rather it has to do with the nature of the condition. How strong is the condition that you're putting in place? Obviously the word chutz doesn't work because by chutz it's a language that the Chachamim say is too connected integrally to the get. Almanat, which is a language that separates, is segregated from the get. That's only true as long as the language isn't so strong that in essence it blocks any avenue for her to have an outlet. That's the Havamina of Tosafot. If you look later on the Tosafot, the Ri says, Umiya Nira the Ri, Dafilu Ba'almanat Shelo Tinasi V'lo Tivali, Modu Rabbanan. That even in the case where it's Almanat Shelo Tinasi V'lo Tivali, the Rabbanan would agree, Dula Vishiyura, that that's not a leftovers. So Ri says in the end, the answer is Chutz and Almanat are the decisive factors here. Doesn't matter what you say in the Almanat. The Kevan De Nosrai Lo V'Lashon Tanai, Kayavilu Ki'itra Hutra L'Kol. Since it's only an Isur through a condition, not an Isur through the get itself, that is considered to be a condition and not an integral part of the get. So over here, Tosafot discusses this issue. Whether it's just simply the word amanat is what clears this and allows you to make whatever condition you want because it said be'almanat, or even almanat has to be used in a way that still allows for a manifestation of Ariat Muter Dechol Adam. So the Havamina Tosafot suggests that that's the case. The Ri, in the end, says that that's not the case, and therefore you can say whatever you want to say. Almanat is just fundamentally a language of condition and not a language of embedding it inside the get itself. Umatzniten du ukimna bechutz. Our Mishnah, which we said the word Elo, and our Mishnah is means bechutz, and therefore their machloket is bechutz, and the Chachamim agree by almanat. Then, my time with the Rabbi Eliezer. What's the reason behind Rabbi Eliezer there that he says chutz is still okay? Amar Rabbi Yanai mishum zaken echad. Rabbi Yanai says, in the name of one of the elders, Amar Kral, the Pasuk says, ve'yatza mi beito. She leaves the house, ve'alcha, and she goes, ve'ayta li'ish acher. And then she marries someone else. Afilu lo hetira ela li'ish acher. If he doesn't allow her or free her except for one individual, then arizu magureshet. She is divorced. So here you have an amazing statement, which is that the divorce is enough that simply he releases her to one individual. And that makes it into a get. Rabbanan, Amre, Rabbanan over here would say, Ha'ish, the chol ish v'ish. You're reading the word ish in the pasuk to mean narrowly any man or one man. That's not the way it's used in the pasuk. And the pashtut of pasuk is like the chachamim, which is, ish acher is the generic ish. It doesn't mean a particular individual. It means any ish that would be the generic form of ish. And that's the way to read it. Not that the chachamim really have to respond to Rabbi Elezer's position because they really are the pashtut pasuk. What they want to show is that his diuk is not even a good diuk because you would read the pasuk more simply or even in a better manner the way that we are. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, time of the Rabbi Lezer Meoch, the reason behind Rabbi Lezer is from here. Bisha grusha miisha lo yikacho. A woman who is divorced from a man you may not take. Afilo lo nitgarsha la miisha. Even if she's only divorced from one man, nifsala min akuna. She is psula min akuna. Alma, havigita. You can see from here that it is a get. There is a quantum leap over here. But what Rashi says over here, damrala hariat mugreshet mimeni. He says simply, you are divorced from me. Vi at muteret decholadam. You are not muteret to any other person. Bezeu reyacha get shepusel bikuna. That's the type of get that if she has that, she can no longer ever get married to a kohen. The fact that it makes her pasulikuna, alma getu. It must be a good get. Otherwise, why would it make her a surah to a kohen? She's only a surah to a kohen if she's a grusha. If it's not a get, then she's not a grusha. So that, according to Rabbi Eliezer, by definition, if it makes you psula likuna, then it is a get. So it shows you from here that even a get from a single individual is considered to be a get. So now, not only does Rabbi Eliezer say that if you say Hariat Muter de Choladam, Chutz Miploni, that is totally fine. Even if you only say that she is Muteret Mimeni, and she's a Surah L'Chol Olam, that's also a good get, meaning that we're going from extreme to extreme. Before we thought Rabbi Eliezer's opinion was, alright, it's a little far-fetched. Now, it's an extreme opinion, which is that even if you divorce from a single man, that's a get, and it's a good get. Rabbanan Isirku and Ashaini, what you were suggesting, the Rabbanan say the threshold by kuna is very different. The Surei kuna are different. The way Rashi phrases it over here is that since there's ribui mitzvot by kuna, maybe there's a higher standard or threshold. Yeah. The way that the Gemara says in other places, and I think that's what the Gemara may be hinting to over here, is that Isiru kuna shiny is that by yichusim of the kohanim, we have a higher standard. So even though by others we would not consider that to be a get, but with regards to a kohen, where yichus is important, and the Torah emphasizes yichus, from there we have a higher standard, isur kuna shiny, or yichus kuna shiny. Tosafot over here discusses, within the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, when we structure a condition inside of a get, we worry sometimes that you won't carry out that condition. So if you stipulate that you're going to do something, then we say many times you have to do that item first, before we will allow you then to be muteret. So for instance, if there's a tznai embedded in the get, we won't necessarily let her get married until she fulfills the tznai. So for instance, he says, Hariat muteret the chol adam, he gives her the get, amanat, that you give me 200 zuz. We will not let her get married, the chatchila, until she pays the 200 zuz. So now over here, if we condition the get by saying, Hariat muteret the chol adam, Amnat, or even according to Rabbi Eliezer here, the word chutz, from so-and-so. Now, what do? If she marries so-and-so, the get is no good. That means that there's a chashash that she will not be mikayim the tnai. And if she's not mikayim the tnai, then the gitim are no good. So now, can she get divorced or could she get married at this point? Because there's still a possibility, even if she gets married, for to have a failure in the condition. So what Tosafot does over here is distinguish between different types of conditions. There are conditions where we worry about fulfillment. There are other conditions where we might worry, but we'll still let you go through. There are other conditions where we don't worry about it at all. And that's what Tosfot says over here, mashma. Tafilu b'chaye oto aish matira li nasei. Even while that man is still alive, she can get married to a third party, she can get married to anyone else besides that man. that's part of why there is still, in some ways, a slavering of the relationship, is because if the individual passes away, then she really is mutaret the chol adam. If her husband, the ex-husband, passes away, the condition is gone, and she can actually marry that guy at that point. So there are ways where she would become mutaret the chol adam that are not limited by her lifetime or life expectancy. It has to do with the life expectancy of her husband or that individual, and she could still be mutaret the chol adam. As a sidebar, that is also a factor here. Biksha Rabbeinu Shmuel, Amaylu Chashinan, Dilmalo Tekayim Tana'a. Why don't we worry about the fact that she's not going to fulfill her condition over here? So you look down further in the Tosafot, where Rabbi Akiva Eger has his mark. V'teir etzarav Rabbi Yechanan, the shiny. It's different. Gabe matayim zuz, t'yesh l'chlachush pentafsida t'asher la. When she has to pay the money, even if she has the money in hand, we worry about the fact that she'll start buying lottery tickets, she will start gambling the money, she'll waste the money, she'll spend the money. I mean, there's no guarantee that the money's going to be here. Therefore, until she fulfills and pays up, we're not going to let her get married. Below tuchal the kayim tana'a, because in that case, she will not fulfill the tana'i, and that will undermine the get retroactively. So there we say, b'mikayim the tana'i, and then get married. V'chein gavish lo tiv'ali la'acher. If he phrases it as you should not consort with any individual, chashinan shema yavoi la bonus, then we do worry about it, because in that case she could be raped, meaning that she has no control over the situation. Avahocha amanach lo tinasi leka lemechash shisena bal korcha. Here she cannot be compelled into violating the get, because in the case of lo tivali, even against her will, she could be forced, raped, and then she would violate the tanai. So since it's not within her control, we do not allow the gerushin, or allow her to act on the gerushin, because the tanai is not within her control. In the first case, even where it is in her control, but there's a possibility that she'll lose the money or not fulfill it, also over there we say fulfill the tanai beforehand and then let it go through. In this case, where she both has control, because you can get married against your will, so therefore she can never, she's never be forced into a marriage. And number two is, we don't have to worry about her losing something, because she doesn't have to do anything, she doesn't give anything over here, she simply has to desist from doing something. Over there, we will not worry about it. The Tosafot reads, says that more explicitly, and says it's the difference between something that is active and passive. Where we require to make an active engagement in order to fulfill the tanai, there we will wait for her to actively do it before we allow her to get married. In a case where it's just simply passive or desistance from doing something, there we will trust her to desist from doing it and allow her to get married right away, assuming that she will fulfill the tanai. I'm assuming that that is that if it's not too onerous, whatever it is that we worry about. If he says, on the condition that you don't go back to your father's house, right, that already can create friction or tensions where we might believe that she will violate it, and therefore we might be more careful in those situations. But here the Rishonim are trying to distinguish between different types of conditions and when we allow her to get married, even though there's an embedded condition in the get. All right, now the Gemara says, "Bai Rabbi Ava, b'kiddushim heach." What is your view with regards to kiddushin? Meaning that here we have Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim arguing about a condition that's left in a get. What about in a marriage? If he says, "Hariat mukudeshet li, chutz be so and so," it's strange, because you could answer, or you could say that the two are not comparable at all, and the Gemara does offer that possibility. But by gerushin, where you're releasing her, you can say, "I release you with exception of so-and-so." But on the other hand, when you're marrying a woman, what does that mean? That you marry her with the exception of so-and-so. That means that she's married and asur to the whole world, but she's mutaret to this other individual. How will that be manifest? She can't go and then be together with that individual. Right? It's not really a level playing field or balance over here, because of the nature of the direction of severing versus binding. And therefore, you could argue just simply that the two don't go together. Nevertheless, the Gemara does entertain the question, and we'll see later on in the Gemara what the Gemara does with my issue that I'm raising here about Kiddushin. So Gemara says, Tibai l'Rabbi Eliezer, Tibai l'Rabbonon. We'd ask the question both according to Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Tibai l'Rabbi Eliezer, ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Eliezer, al-chal mishum dichtive cry. We saw before, Rabbi Eliezer says the reason that you can do almanat, or you can say that a get is a good get, even though there are exceptions to who she is muteret to, is because he darshan the pasuk. Whether that's the pasuk of Isha Grusha Misha Lo Yikachu, or whether that's the pasuk of Yatza Mi Beito V'Achav Hayta Li'ish Acher, both of those are psukim. Aval Hotam Kinyan Ma'al Yabinan. By Kiddushin, it's simply a functional kinyan like any other kinyan. And over there, we wouldn't have exceptions to the rule. Oh, Dilma, v'etzav ha'ita. The pasuk we just read before, v'etzav mi'beto v'ita li'ish acher. Over there, there's a hekesh between yitziyah and havayah, meaning a connection between gerushin and kiddushin. And therefore, if it works by gerushin, it'll also work by kiddushin. Tibay the rabbanan, ad gan lo kami rabbanan ochel d'be'inan pritut v'leka. Over here, there's a deficit in the severing of the relationship because the Torah demands that you get a get kritut. A get kritut means a document or a bill of divorce that severs their relationship completely. And here, when you put the condition in, there's a failure in that severing of the relationship. Over there by Kiddushin, maybe any kinyan, even if it's not a full kinyan, maybe that suffices to create Kiddushin. Who says you have to have a 100% kinyan in order for it to work? Again, here, you were doing it in the opposite direction, which is, there's a hekesh between Gerushin and Kiddushin. So just like by Gerushin, you need a full severing of the relationship. So do by Kiddushin, you need a full binding of the relationship in order for it to be Kiddushin. If you leave something out, it wouldn't work. The Bata di Baile, after he asked the question, Hadar Pashto, he answered it. Ben the Rabbi Lezer, Ben the Rabbanon, Binan v'yatzav ha'ita. That we do say v'yatzav ha'ita, that the hekesh between Gerushin and Kiddushin, and therefore whatever their opinion is by Gerushin, we'd have the same opinion by Kiddushin. Which means that for Rabbi Eliezer, if you can leave out these individuals, and it is kasher, then so too by Kiddushin, you can leave these individuals out and it'll still be Kiddushin. But the Chachamim would say it doesn't work, then it also won't work by Gerushin. Amar bai, im timtza lomar, if you want to suggest, ita l'drabi Abba, we accept Rabbi Abba's position. He asked the question, he answered it. Let's assume that he's right, and we accept his answer, that we do say this hekesh v'yatzav ha'ita, that allows the same din to apply by Kiddushin. Baru vein, so here's the case, so this is the answer to the question, what does it mean to leave someone out of Kiddushin? What effect does it have? Baruvein v'kidsha. Ruvein comes and marries the woman, chutz mi Shimon, with the exception of his brother Shimon. Says, I'm married to you, and that means you are a sural kol olam, you are restricted to the whole world, with exception of my brother Shimon. Uba Shimon v'kidsha. And now Shimon comes and marries her, chutz mi Ruvein, with the exception of his brother Ruvein. Umeitu shnehem. And both Reuven and Shimon die. Mitzia Bemet LeLevi. They have a third brother, Levi. Levi here is allowed to marry this woman. Ve'ein ani koreh ba eshet shnei meitim. Because I don't call her a wife to two men. Or in essence, what has happened here is, Maitaima, Kiddushei de Reuven ahanu. The Kiddushim of Reuven were successful. The Kiddushei de Shimon, lo ahanu. The Kiddushim of Shimon are not successful. Not because of what you're thinking, because how could he marry her if he's already married to Reuven, but because of the nature of how he said it. Because Shimon did nothing. Meaning that Shimon, through his Kiddushin, did not change the status of the woman from what it was before. In the case of Reuven, he comes along, he does an act of Kiddushin with her, it makes her a surah on the whole world, with the exception of his brother Shimon. But that means he did have an impact with his Kiddushin. On the other hand, when Shimon comes along and does Kiddushin with her, he says, with the exception of my brother Reuven. What did Shimon do to this woman that she didn't have before? She's a surah l'chol olam. That was true from his brother's Kiddushin. The only thing he could have done now was make her a surah on his brother Reuven. And he left that out. So he took no action that has any meaning. And therefore his Kiddushin are meaningless. So Reuven's Kiddushin are binding. Shimon's Kiddushin were meaningless. That means when Reuven and Shimon pass away, woman is only the wife of Reuven, and Levi can marry her or perform Yibum with her. Vela Eshet Shnei Meitim Hecha Mishkachala. How do we have a case of Eshet Shnei Meitim? The truth is, we have plenty of cases like that in the Gemara and Yevamot. Those cases are nothing like what we're going to say over here. It's obvious that the Gemara's question is much more pointed over here is, in this type of scenario, how can you come up with a din of Eshet Shnei Meitim? Because the classic case of Eshet Shnei Meitim is where you have three brothers. One brother passes away. The second brother performs ma'amar with the woman and then passes away. The third brother now is receiving this woman from two brothers. One brother because he was married to her originally. The second brother because of the ma'amar. And therefore she is deemed to be an Eshet Shnei Meitim. That's the classic case that the Gemara and the Mishnayot and Yevamot speak about. Over here, the Gemara is looking in this scenario. Kigon, Shabar Ruvain v'kidsha chutz mishimon. Ruvain comes and marries her with the exception of Shimon. Uba Shimon v'kidsha tam. And then Shimon comes and gives her kiddushin without any qualifications. There, it works. Why? The kiddushin Ruvain ahanu the mesra alma. Because the kiddushim of Ruvain are successful at making her a surah to everyone with the exception of his brother Shimon. The kiddushin Shimon ahanu. And the Kedushim of Shimon are successful because the Mesra Ruvain make Ruvain a surah to her because Shimon was mutar to her because Ruvain left him out of the Kiddushin. And then Shimon took advantage of that to offer her Kiddushin, but the Asur, the only person who was left that was mutar, which was his brother Ruvain. And by doing that, his Kiddushin are successful. Therefore, if they both pass away at that point in time, she would be Eshet Shnei HaMeitim. Should be a wife of two brothers in that instance. What's interesting here, as Tosafot points out, Hachamashma de Eshet Shnei Meitim Doraita. From here, it sounds like this din of Eshet Shnei Meitim is a Torah law, because we are saying that she is married based on the position of Rabbi Eliezer to both men. And therefore, the death of both brothers leaves her as an Eshet Shnei Meitim on a Torah level. The Gemara in Yevamot, the Mishnayot in Yevamot, when we discuss it there, we use the vehicle of Mamar. Mamar is only a din derabonon in Ibom, which is that it's the equivalent of Kiddushim for a Yevam and Yevama. But that's only a din derabonon. So therefore this din of Eshet Shnei Meitim is only a din derabonon. There is the Shita of Beit Shammai who say Mamar is Doraita. But if you believe Mamar is Doraita, then the second brother already married her and then took her in. That means that they completed the Yibum, quote unquote, through the Mamar. That means then when the second brother passes away, she's the wife of the second brother, not the wife of the first brother. So that would seem to indicate that we don't have a case where it's Doraita, the Eshet Shnei Meitim. It's all a fiction derabonan because of this Mamar that they introduced. But not that her real status is a status of an Isha of Shnei Meitim. But from our Gemara, it makes it sound like you can really have, or there is such a concept, Doraita of Eshet Shnei HaMeitim. So Tosafot over here says, if the equation is really so strong, how come by the case of Geushim, when you say, Hariat Muteret Dechol Adam, you are Muteret to everyone, Chutz Miploni, with the exception of so-and-so. And then, in a case where she marries a third party, and then that third party passes away, then she's muteret dechol adam, and the tanai falls away. Because the kiddushin, or the marriage to the individual in the interim, completely severs the relationship with the original husband. And now, all of her marriage is associated with the second marriage, not the first marriage. So why don't you say the same thing over here? When Shimon marries her, that should take away the marriage of Reuven. Like we see here by the divorce, where once she marries another party, the marriage to that other party, and then the death of that party, severs her relationship with the second party, but also clears out whatever the first one had left behind, and there is no connection to the first marriage anymore. So over here say that the marriage to Shimon wipes out the marriage to Reuven completely. And therefore, when he offers Kiddushin, Stam, she should only be married to Shimon and not to Reuven. Why do we make a distinction between those two cases? So Tosafot in the end says, V'yesh lamar, that there is a difference. Hatam b'geirushin, kemashit chalanatka yedei shenisei l'acher, menatka l'gamre. Because there, in the process of marrying the other individual, that only serves to further sever the relationship with the previous husband. And therefore, with the death of that husband, it just finalizes or completes it. On the other hand, over here, when you're dealing with the kiddushin of al-hocha, shabal d'kacha shenitkacha l'acher lo nitka. Over here, he's not trying to sever the relationship of the other party, but simply they're both in competition to bind themselves to this woman. Reuven wasn't trying to unwind or to unbind himself from this woman, that Shimon comes along and then helps him to do that. It's just the opposite. Reuven bound himself to the woman with the exception of Shimon, but he wants to be married. He wants to be connected to her. So therefore, when Shimon comes along, he's not just helping Reuven do what he wanted to do before. He's actually in conflict with what Reuven did before, and that's why they both remain married to the woman, as opposed to the case in Gerushin, where the second marriage serves to only further or sever the relationship from the first husband because it's going the same direction and accomplishing the same effect as what he gave Rishin from the first husband. Baya baya. Baya queries. Amar la, hariyat muter de chol adam chutz miruvein v'shimon. Says, you are muter to everyone with the exception of Ruvein and Shimon. V'chazar v'amar la l'ruvein v'shimon mahu. And then he goes back and says, you know what? You're muteret to Ruvein and Shimon. What is the din? Seems pretty straightforward, which is, that should be a good divorce. Gemara says, no. Me, Amrina, and my dasar shara. Do we say that, the way that we would read it simply, is that before he said, you're muteret to everyone with the exception of Ruvein and Shimon, and then he cleared out Ruvein and Shimon, and now you're muteret to everyone without any exceptions. Oh, Dilma, my dasar shara, my dasara asar. Or do we say that he's really changing his mind? He's reneging on the first statement. So do we say that originally he said, Ari muter to chol adam chutz mi Ruvein and Shimon? And then when he says, you are muter to Ruvein and Shimon, he means, but you're asura lechol adam. Meaning reversing his opinion. How do we read that? So now he'll say, im timtzol omar. Again, for the Rambam, that means that it's conclusive. You know, for others, that means that it may still be a question. Tosafot points out over here that this question is not only within the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. This could be set up. These questions could be set up even within the shita of the Rabbanan, and it's not unique to Rabbi Eliezer, just because we're using the word chutz over here. You could say the same thing if you used almanat for the chachamim. So then, imtim salomar maidasar shara, that whatever was asur, she now was matir, meaning the simpler way to read it, that when he says you're muteret to Ruvein and Shimon, it means in addition to being muteret to chol adam, then Ruvein mahu. If he says, Hariat muteret de chol adam chutz mi Ruvein and Shimon, and then after that he says, okay, muteret Ruvein, you're muteret Ruvein. What does that mean? Ruvein, hu adin le Shimon. When he said Ruvein, I mean Ruvein and etc. The things that I left out before that were exceptions, I'm erasing that now. I'm using Ruvein as an example or a representative of that group. So I'm saying Ruvein's mutar, but that means everybody is mutar. Vay de kamar Ruvein mishum de potach be. The reason he used Ruvein is because he opened with Ruvein, so it's like Ruvein and etc. Odilma Ruvein Davka. Or do we say that means literally Ruvein and not Shimon, and therefore she's still a surah to Shimon? Bimtim Salomar Ruvein Davka. If you say when he says, Ariat Muteret to Chol Adam, Chutz Ruvein and Shimon, and then says, ah, you know what, you're Muteret to Ruvein, that means just to Ruvein, that means Shimon remains a sur. Then, what about if she says, L'Shimon Mahu? If he comes back and says, Hariyat muteret chol adam chutz mi Ruvein and Shimon, and then he changes his mind and says, ah, the Shimon, you are muteret. Then what's the din? The Shimon v'u adin the Ruvein. When he says Shimon, he means Shimon and Ruvein, mean the group that was left out before, I'm now being matir. If I become a Shimon, so then why did he use Shimon? Mishum the salik mine, that was the last name he said. So he uses that to represent that grouping. Odilma, the Shimon d'afko. Maybe it's only for Shimon that we would say it. Again, you could see how Rabbi is building piece by piece, asking the question in a more narrow circumstances, what is he meant by these languages? By Ravashi. Ravashi asks the question, after Shimon Mahu. What if he says to him, also to Shimon you are mutar? What does the af mean? Af a Ruvein kai? Is the af mean not only is Ruvein mutar, but also Shimon? Odilma af a alma kai? Or is the af going back on Hariat mutar de chol adam? And af Shimon. Shimon's also included in that, but that means Ruvein remains asur. And as Tosafot points out, you could ask the same question if he said af Ruvein. It's not just because Shimon was the second one that we say af Shimon means in addition to Ruvein. If we say af Ruvein, you could ask the question, does af then reference the Hariyat Muter de Chol Adam? Or is the af meaning referencing Shimon? Even though Ruvein was mentioned first, he still could be saying it in that manner. Teiku, we leave this question, at least Ravashi's question for sure, is unresolved. But seemingly even Abayi's question before is unresolved, and depending how you read Imtim Salomar, you would say that either Abayi has certain stops along the way where he is conclusive, or you would say the Teiku goes back on all the questions of Abayi. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Pei Gimel Amud Aleph.